Take your Bible, please. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We're going to use our Bibles just a little bit tonight. Romans chapter 14. We're going to read the first three verses. I'm going to give you part two of a Bible study we started last Wednesday. If you were not here, don't worry. I'll catch you up and you'll be on the same page with us. Romans chapter 14, I'll read verses 1 through 3, you follow along silently. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations, for one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God receiveth him. Now, tonight's Bible study and last Wednesday night's Bible study, honestly, may be one of the most important Bible studies I've ever given to our church. If you'll listen tonight, I think I can help you. You see, we as a growing church have a constant flow of new people. There's a constant flow of people coming in, new people, people that have no, and I hate using this term, but people that have no church experience. They don't know how to necessarily behave in church. They've not been in church, that type of thing. And that's not a problem, but they're just new and they need taught. Now, we can't expect new or weak people to understand, okay, I'm 52 years old. I've been in church for 53 years. I've been going to church for 9 months before I was hatched. I've been in church. I'm not a church mouse. I'm a church rat. I mean, I've been in church my whole life. I don't expect everybody to know about church what I know. You say, why? Because I know every week of our church, somebody walks through those doors and has never been to a church like this. And there are people that have just joined us and it's all new to you. And you don't know what's coming. But let me tell you something, it's fun. Don't worry about it. It's great. Just because you know something or you were taught a certain way doesn't mean that everybody else knows what you know. You know, I have to be careful that I don't look at new people and say, well, that's so easy. How come you don't know that? That's not good. There are people that come to me and say, preacher, I know this is a dumb question. No such thing. There isn't. I know you've heard this before. It's okay. I'll hear it again. Don't worry. You're not the first. You're not the last. It's coming again. Don't worry. In other words, if you expect everyone to know what you know, that's totally wrong. And I made this statement last week. Our church is a hospital, and I make that regularly. Every human has problems because of the effects of sin.
Yes, sir.
Now listen to this statement very carefully. Bad health, old age, shingles, pain, shingles, baggage, bad thoughts, shingles, mistrust, and kidney stones did not come from God. They are the effect of sin, not God. I am tired of the Catholics and others teaching that God does this. God didn't bring it. God didn't sin. We did. God didn't pre-design me to have shingles, just so you know. God won't stop the effects of sin for anybody. A couple of my preacher friends said, are you going to go to the trash heap and sit there and with hot ashes and scrape it with a pot? I said, shut up. Now, sin beats up on all of us. Proof that you're a sinner, you have those problems. For the wages of sin is death. Everybody is a sinner. We're all going to die. If you'd have asked me earlier this afternoon when it felt like half of my body slid into hell, I would have told you, get the gun, let's take care of it now. But may I say this, none of us are as holy or as righteous as we think we are. All of us need to grow. Now the Bible says here, him that is weak in the faith. Listen to this very carefully. This is, honestly, this is the whole sermon. Notice it doesn't say him that is weak of faith. It says weak in the faith. Weak of faith means I don't have much faith and I'm not sure I can do that. That's weak of faith. Weak in the faith means I'm new to this. I'm not sure what to do. Or maybe I did know what to do, but I've been away from it for so long, now I don't know how to get back into doing it. That's somebody who is weak in the faith. Can I tell you something? God says, first thing we're supposed to do is receive them. Can I tell you what? Those doors are open for everybody that's weak in the faith. I do not expect Grace Baptist Church to be filled with perfect Christians. Matter of fact, if it is, we're not doing our job. My preacher used to say, if you don't have a pretty rough crowd coming into your church on a regular basis, you're not doing your job. You're not getting new people in. We're going to get people in that don't know how to behave in church. It's okay. At least we're getting them saved. Nine visitors and five saved on Sunday. Take that, devil.
Amen.
Hey, you know, you throw a rock in the pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. And he's been yelping lately. We've been hitting him pretty hard. Say, preacher, why do you have shingles? Because I'm a sinner and because I've been whooping the devil's tail for quite a while. Can I tell you something? I'll get through it. Don't worry. It's not life-threatening yet. My wife hadn't killed me. Now, we are not to be weak of faith. There are some that are weak in the faith. And the Bible says there are several things we're supposed to do. Number one, we're to receive them. This is review. We're to receive them that are weak. We're to welcome them. Number two, we're not to receive their doubtful disputation. That term, doubtful disputation, means we're not to argue about things with which we disagree. The Bible uses a couple illustrations. I'll just cover one. There in verses 2 and 3, it talks about some believe you can eat anything. There are those that believe you should only eat herbs. There are those that believe in vegetation and vegetables only, and those of us that like shooting and killing and hunting, and I'm a carnivore, amen, like meat. I used the illustration. Marcia grew up as a Jew. Pork is repulsive to her. But the Bible says, I'm not going to argue with her over it. But I do want you to know, the one that says in here, he that eateth herbs only is weak. You say, why? Because God opened the door. According to the book of Acts, when Peter was arguing with God, God said, Peter, rise, kill, and eat. It's okay. I fulfilled all that. You don't have to worry about it. What most people call healthy, can I tell you something? God cursed the ground. God cursed the earth. Did you know you go into a health store, half of the health store is made out of weeds? Weeds are a byproduct of sin. Guess what? They're no healthier. Now, I'm not going to argue with you over it. If you believe in eating tree bark and drinking swamp water to get better, you can eat tree bark and drink swamp water. If you believe in going to the doctor and getting something to take care of it, you go to the doctor, get something to take care of it. But don't argue with each other over that. Everybody doing okay? That's called not arguing over doubtful disputations. Number three, we're to withdraw from those who walk disorderly. Ooh. Did you know somebody who's walking the wrong path we should not walk with? I illustrated this last week. I won't go into it, but I will say this. Disloyal people always try to pull you off the path. They always try to pull you off the path. Number four, we're to support the weak, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Number five, we're to bear the infirmities of the weak. Now, can I tell you something? Those are the things that we are supposed to do with weak in the faith Christians. By the way, we're supposed to open the door and welcome them. Somebody in your church is a sinner and they sang. Yeah, somebody that's a sinner is pastoring the church, just so you know. Well, you got a hypocrite in your church. Well, I'm talking to one. What's your problem? None of us are as good as we think we are. Let's just put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf and open the lid. Amen. Now, tonight, I want to take the next 26 minutes and I want to help you. Why are Christians so weak? Why do Christians become weak in the faith? We live in a society of weak people. Let me say that again. We live in a society of weakness. Everyone wants to be offended. Everybody wants to holler racism. Everybody wants to say that, because I didn't get what I want, no justice, no peace. Justice does not mean you get what you want. Everybody doing okay? Now, we have senators from Virginia, Mr. Cuccinelli, who do not want you to know the real history about the Statue of Liberty. Everybody listen to me very carefully. The Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with immigration. The poem by Emma Lazarus, I believe is her name, was not written about immigration. The French gave the United States the Statue of Liberty after 100 years of freedom and free living and freeing people in the world. And it was a statue of liberty, not a statue of immigration. It has never been a representation of immigration. And Mr. Cuccinelli is trying to propagandize this, reprogram, and get people to not understand the truth, and he's an idiot. Everybody doing okay? It's there because we fought government oppression. Now you have the government oppressors trying to teach you that it's about immigration, and it's not. Say, well, preacher, I don't think you ought to be so bold. That's why people are weak. Used to be preachers had a backbone and they didn't have a wet noodle for a spine. Used to be a preacher stand up and shout and sound like a trumpet according to the book of Isaiah, and they didn't cowtail to everybody because, oh, we just got to hold hands and get along with everybody. Well, bless God, I'm not here to get along with everybody. I'm here to preach the truth. We have weak people physically in our country. The average child in America today is weak. They're lazy. Tell them to get out of bed before 6 o'clock once and find out what they do. That's only get up once at 6 o'clock. Some of them have to get up at 6:30 or 7 o'clock to go to school next week. Oh, poor widow baby. I've been in bed past 5 o'clock 3 times in the last 6 weeks. Used to be you got up and did chores before sun up. Then you ate breakfast. You earned your breakfast. Then you went to school, came back, did more chores before dinner, ate dinner, went out and did more chores. Used to be America knew how to work and didn't have fat, lazy kids. Everybody doing okay? Oh, our kids today have strong thumbs from playing video games and playing on their phone. But that's the only strong bone on their body, and the strong muscle is their stupid thumbs. I better continue. I'm going to go up the ladder. Manual labor has become watching a machine do something instead of man doing it. I thank God for all the machinery out here that's been digging and doing all the stuff they're doing. But can you imagine what it was like in the old days when they didn't have those machines? I was talking to the excavators today, and we're all shaking our heads at what we got to do. And I said to the one man tonight, I said, Greg, I said, for the last 7,000 years, all this water didn't hurt anything. Why are we hurting it now? Why do we have to reroute it now? He said, I don't understand either, preacher. He said, I'm with you. He said, this doesn't make any sense at all. He said, God knew what he was doing. I said, yeah, he does. So we have people who are weak emotionally. Good night. Can I tell you something? People are a bunch of wimps today. Well, you offend me. Well, bless God, at least I know you were listening. It doesn't bother me if I offend you. I'm not offending you. The truth is offending you. Folks, the LGBTQ alphabet soup people don't offend me. They offend God. And can I tell you something? I'll work at getting them saved, but my kind of preaching, they're not going to stick around. They're going to get offended. They might hit you with their purse, fellas, but it'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Folks, it didn't take me real long to figure out if I was a boy or a girl. I was never confused about it one time in my whole life. Not once. My five favorite words in the English language are, "Thank God I'm a man." I mean that. Thank God. Now, let me give you about four or five things here tonight, real quickly. I have four things I want to give you, and it won't take long, but if you'll listen, I can show you why Christians are weak. Number one, some people are weak because they carry too light or no load at all. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Again, don't get mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. God did. I just read it. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1. "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work. And then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Now listen to me. Brother Dorsey, stand up there. If Brother Dorsey wants to get strong, get in shape for his wedding coming up in June to my daughter, he goes down to, Gold's Gym, I guess is the only one I can think of right now, and gets a membership. Brother Dorsey goes down there at 6 o'clock every morning and sits on the chair and watches everybody work out. Spends 45 minutes watching everybody work out, comes to work, back, cleans up, comes to work, says, "Man, I put my time in at the gym." How much shape is he going to get in? He's eating donuts and Twinkies while they're working out. You're going to look like Brother Lopez. A miniature Buddha. Now, wait a minute. You don't get strong by no load. You get strong by carrying a load. You don't get strong by sitting on your blessed assurance. You get strong by doing something with it. You don't lift the weight, you don't get stronger. You sit there, do nothing, you get weak. It's called atrophy. Thank you, Brother Dorsey. When you do nothing, you get weak. It used to be a statement out, use it or lose it. Very true. If you don't use it, you're going to lose the use of it. If you do nothing, listen to this, then all you have is opinion of how you think it would do. You would do it. But you've never done it, therefore shut your mouth and don't give your opinion. If you're not doing it, or have not done it, you don't have the authority to give an opinion. Everybody doing okay? Man, that one got really quiet really fast. You get stronger carrying a load, not letting others carry it for you. If Brother Dorsey gets his gym membership and Brother Bush goes to the gym with him, he works out, but he sits there and watches him work out, who's going to be stronger? The one that works out. The one sitting on the couch watching everybody work out doesn't get very strong. You have to carry a load. Can I tell you something? Christians are weak because they don't do anything for God. They won't read their Bible. They won't pray. They won't go soul winning. They won't volunteer to help at the church here and there. Now, I'll get into some of this in a little bit. But can I tell you something? Just because you sit there on your blessed assurance and take up your 18 or 20 or 24 or however many inches of seat you take up does not mean you're a good Christian. Everybody doing okay? Just because you show up to church doesn't make you a good Christian. Just because you walk through the garage doesn't make you a car. Now, so the first reason many are weak is because they don't do anything at church. Number two, some are weak because they carry too heavy of a load too quickly. Notice the last couple words, too quickly. I think it's very unwise of a pastor, the moment somebody joins the church, they start getting a new church member, man, they got them doing, teaching Sunday school, being a deacon, doing this, driving a bus, doing that. They just pick up 8 or 10 or 12 different things. I think they need time to grow into it. Brother Stansberry's back here. He just joined recently. I haven't asked him to do one cotton picking thing yet. Say why? He's got six kids. Six? Whew. Thought I had it down right. He's got enough to do right there. Now, there's going to be time I'm going to ask him to step up and help somewhere. He may or may not be able to do it, but I'm not going to do it the first week. I might not do it the first month. Say why? Because I don't want to start adding to it. By the way, very capable man. But I don't want to add too much to his load too soon. Boy, that's a good statement there. New Christians or Christians just getting back into church can tend to want to do too much too fast. People need time to learn how to grow into duties. You don't need to be, Sam and Jeannie have joined just in the last 6 months or so. The first week she joined the church, I didn't ask her to watch the nursery the next week. Matter of fact, I haven't asked her yet. Say why? She's got Sam. She don't want more nursery work. Now, wait a minute. Say, why is that? People need time to grow. People need time to heal. And I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but it's true. People grow at different rates. Some grow faster. Some grow higher. Some grow wider. Some don't grow much at all. It's okay, but we all do grow. Usually when you stop growing this way, you start growing this way. But either way, now, you need to grow where you when you can and where you can. In other words, you're not going to teach Sunday school the first week that you join the church, unless you're a staff person. That's a little different. You say, why? Because you need to hear the Bible taught the right way. You need to learn how it's done. You need to kind of get into the rhythm of how things are done and learn how we do things. And then I'll probably, instead of throwing you right into teaching, you'll be help somebody for a while. Then we'll split a class and hand it to you. Say, why is that? So that you get the training necessary to teach. But you got to grow into it. That doesn't mean if you join the church, there's nothing you can do. Oh, there's plenty of things to do. There's what I call light things to do, that it's just a one-time thing here, or a little thing here, a little thing there. Plenty of those kind of things that can be done. For instance, you join the church, I'm not going to ask you to sing a special right away. Especially you, Mom. You make fun of me. She can only sing Silent Night, and she doesn't even know the words. She recognizes it sometimes. For instance, Mrs. Cave is in the next couple weeks, I think, going to be singing a special. Mrs. Cave has a beautiful voice. She can sing. And after she joined our church, she said, "Preacher, I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to sing." I said, "Chris, you need time. Let's give it a few months." I said, "It's not you. I do this with everybody. You just need time to settle in." Then after a few more months, it was like, "Okay, preacher," she's like a caged lion. I said, "Let's give it," I said, let's get some songs together. So she got some songs, and then I approved them. And then she's been getting with Brother Randy, I think, and practicing, and here in the next couple weeks. But it's been several months. We're talking 5, 6 months. You say, well, she needed time to grow into it, time to heal. I'm not going to throw them right into singing unless it's my daughter-in-law. No, and she's not singing this week either, but she'll be in the rotation. But somebody that's been trained for the ministry, it's one thing. But to the average church member, I'm not going to do that. You think I'm going to ask John's wife to go teach Sunday school next week? Good night. She's got all those kids. She wants to be away from kids. I don't blame her. I would want to be away from the kids. There's nothing wrong with that. Everybody doing okay? All right. Now, number three, I got to hurry. Some just carry too much of a load. And I need everybody's attention on this. Some have a big desire, and then they get overwhelmed, and then they want to quit it all. Preacher wanted to do this. Preacher wanted to do that. Preacher wanted to do this. Preacher wanted to do that. Dad wanted to do that. And all of a sudden, they're doing so many things, they don't have time to do anything. And then they say, I just got to quit it all. Now, listen to me very carefully. If you help me lead in our church, whether you be on staff or you're a Sunday school teacher, junior church, bus route, whatever, all leaders need to get people approved through me before you ask them to help you do something. You say, why? Because I know what people's load is. Some of you go ask somebody to help you, and then you go, I need to get preacher's approval. Then you come back and say, preacher, I asked so-and-so to help me. Is that okay? No, it's not okay. Now you've put me in a position, and there's times I've made you go back and tell them, no, they can't help you. And then I'm in a fight for a while. But I'm trying to protect everybody and not make them carry too heavy of a load. Before you ask somebody to help you do something, if you're a leader in one of the ministries here, nursery or bus, anything, do me a favor, come ask me first. I'm not trying to control it all. I'm trying to help people to keep from getting overwhelmed. Just recently, Marcia and I were working on something, and I said, I need this because I got to make sure we don't overload some people. Not because I want to control it. God knows I don't want to control it. I don't care who cleans the toilets or who vacuums the carpet or anything else. She's got this thing down, but I don't want somebody carrying too much of a load. There are some that you could overload them pretty quick. You don't know all they do. I do. And that's my job, is to protect everybody. Everybody understand that? Okay, good. Nod your head this way. All right? Okay. Now, I can help regulate people's loads. And by the way, that's why you hear me say this about every 4 months. That's why Mrs. Barnes is my secretary, not yours. You don't give her work to do. She's my secretary, not yours. Brother Dorsey and Brother Bush are not your assistants. They're my assistants. You don't give them duties to do. You can ask me, and then I'll give it to them if it's in their realm. Or I may have somebody else that needs to do it, but it's not your job to ask them to do it for you. Everybody doing okay? Boy, you're kind of stingy. No, I'm trying to protect everybody's load. These people have a big enough heart, they won't tell you no, I will. Say why? Because I love everybody. Everybody doing okay? All right, I threw my fit. Let me say this to our church people. No is never a bad answer. If you're asked to do something and you really don't feel you can do it, no is not a bad answer. You'll hear that regularly around here. If I ask you to do something, I'll say, you can tell me no, it's okay. I'd like for you to do it, but if you can't, it's all right. Say why? Because no is not a bad answer. I don't think if somebody tells me no that they're disloyal. I always say, does that mean I can ask you again sometime later for something else? Sure, preacher. Just can't do that now. Joe and I have done that dozens of times. Just can't do it right now, preacher. Okay. No problem. No big deal. Everybody doing all right? All right, here we go. Number four. I'll finish. Some people carry the wrong load. Now, everybody listen to me very carefully. Come on up here, Brother Dorsey. I'm not going to embarrass you this time. When he came here 3 months ago, I did not put him in charge of the nursery. You say, why? He would be carrying the wrong load. many diapers have you changed? None. And we're not going any farther down the list, all right? To give him the nursery would be giving him the wrong load to carry. Everybody understand that? Now, give him the teenagers. He's not far removed from them. He knows how to do it, though he did find out he's not as in good a shape as he thought he was for kickball. Yesterday, he said, man, my shin hurt right here on my right leg. I don't know what I did. And I started laughing. I said, I do. He said, what? I said, kickball. He said, no. I said, go like this. He went, oh, man. I said, yeah, you're only 21. Wait till you're 52 and try that mess. You may not have a strength with an ability to lead in that area, but that doesn't mean that you can't lead somewhere else. He may not work in the nursery, but there's some of you, you don't want to work with teenagers. Some of you would rather work with the wee little ones and change nasty diapers and feed them and that kind of stuff. Don't put me in there. I didn't change his diaper. I didn't change my other two kids' diapers. I'm not changing somebody else's. My wife changed all the diapers. I did everything else. I washed the clothes. I'd cook. I'd clean the house. I am not touching no dirty diaper. I'll play in deer guts, but I'm not changing a diaper. I'll gut a turkey. I am not changing a diaper. There's just something about it. Say, preacher, what's the matter with you? Not a thing, because I'm not touching it. Period. Now, some of you men, man, it's just like second nature to you. God bless you. I'm not doing it. Gag, throw up, it's not happening. That's the wrong load, amen? For instance, and I'll not embarrass anybody, I promise you, I love my dad. My dad is one of the wisest men you'll ever meet. I mean that. My dad's been a deacon, good night, Dad, what, 40 years at least? Probably 40 years he's been a deacon in a fundamental independent Baptist church. What a valuable thing I've got available. Can I tell you something? My dad has a lot of wisdom, but I'm not putting my dad in charge of teaching first, second, and third graders. His head came up like a mule in a thistle patch. Say why? My dad is one of the greatest men I know. Honestly, he's one of the best teachers I know one-on-one. But don't put him in front of a class. My dad will never teach a Sunday school class. Not because he's rebellious. That's just not his area of strength. And I would not make him carry that load. Everybody doing okay? Now, I love him. I need him. I need that wisdom. But I'm not going to make my dad teach Sunday school class. Matter of fact, he'll lead the church over that. I know. Because he's just not going to do it. It's everything I can do to get him up here to pray every once in a while. That's okay. I don't ask any of you men to come up here. I would never embarrass you, make you pray publicly till I've come to you first and asked you if you're willing to do it. Say why? Because I wouldn't embarrass you. I just say, when you're ready, let me know. And then I'll let you do it. I have some men, it's taken years. Okay, I'm patient. I got plenty of other men, don't worry. But I just want you to know it's still available. You see, that'd be like you asking me to touch electricity. Not going to happen. Colorblind people don't play with wires. As I told the doctor on Monday, I may be strong as a horse and stubborn as a mule, but I am not foolish. And I am not going to be foolish enough to... I don't even like going to Home Depot and grabbing a wire off the shelf. I still don't like it. You say, why? Now, Josh, he'll play in it all day long. That's why he doesn't have any hair. Can I tell you something? We need to be wise helping people do things where they're successful. Did you hear that? We need to be wise helping people to do something to where they can be successful in the areas that they can do. I believe some people have left church because they've been asked to do things knowing they could not do it and they failed and they were too ashamed to go back to church. Do me a favor. If you think you're going to fail, come see me. I'll get you out of it. It'd be okay. I'm not that kind of person. I really don't believe that. And by the way, sometimes we don't understand what success is. Thank God for Mrs. Lopez, who stepped up when Brother Stoltz passed away a little over a year ago and stepped into the bus route. Amen. Talk about success. Got it. Amen. Thank God for a Joe Lopez in Junior Church. Yes, amen, Brother Dorsey. I'm telling you what, we have the greatest junior church leader in America. Amen. Bar none. You clean in there. You put 30 or 40 kids back there for an hour, hour and a half. You walk in, chairs are picked up, trash is picked up. It doesn't look like anybody's ever been in there. You say, why? Because Brother Lopez taught them to take care of that place. Teaching them how to sit in church. You want to know why the new seventh graders that came in this summer into the auditorium knew how to behave in church? Because he's taught them how to behave in church. You know that the kids can't usher, the boys can't be an usher unless they wear a tie, just like it is here at church. I love it. He's training them for church. That's why it's called junior church, not entertainment room. Everybody doing okay? Thank God for that. I love preaching to the kids once in a while. But don't put them all in here, please. Say why? I'm not as good or as strong in that area. Can I tell you something? Those are the reasons why some people are weak. They don't carry a load or too little of a load. Some carry too much of a load too soon. Some just carry too much of a load, and some are carrying the wrong kind of load. We'll be wise. We'll work together on it. But just because something doesn't work out the way you think it should doesn't mean it's not successful. You try practicing music and getting up once, and you're going to make wrong notes. You're going to sing wrong notes. Right? Amen. I can attest to that. I sing more wrong ones than right ones. But by the way, we got the job done. We got through it. Say, what was that? I had to be willing to get up and embarrass myself to do it, even though it's not one of my strengths. I'll be honest with you. It's one of those things that I endured. Because I know how bad it is. Trust me. But thank God we got through it. There are things I can't do anymore. There's too many things going on. Thank God for men like Brother Dorsey and Brother Josh coming, helping and being on board with us. We're going to grow. We're going to choose the right people. I wish you could watch these two guys work together. It's phenomenal. I was listening to them today. They had the door open and it was like a party in there. They were just IDing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. Not a tense word. I listened to this one say to that one, "How you doing it? This isn't mine, this is yours. I'm just going to hold on to it till you get back. What can I do to keep it going for you? How can we build this for you? What do you want done with this?" I was watching it. By the way, I didn't coach them. What a team. I love it. That's the way it ought to be. It ought not be, well, bless God, when you get back, I'm going to have this and I'm going to have this. And whether you like it or, oh, it's not our way. How about we do it God's way? That's the important part. Let's carry our load. Let's not be afraid of it. Everybody grab something. Don't sit at the gym and watch everybody else do it. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun with that one. It works real well. Let's carry a load. Let's not carry too much too soon. But let's get involved. Let's do something. And let's carry the load we can. I'll try to be wise and help you find the right kind of load. And then we'll just carry it all together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I know that for sure. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, preacher, if I die tonight, I'm not 100% sure. I won't call your name. I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but say, preacher, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, dozens and dozens of hands. In a moment, you may put them down. In a moment, the piano begin to play. When it begins to play, we'll stand to our feet. If God was speaking to your heart tonight, how about you come to the altar up here and kneel? How about you do business with God tonight?